All right, Rabosei, good morning. Let's begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning's daf. We thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the... We thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Iyar, Menachem and Susie Schoenfeld, for dedicating the Shiurim this month and the Zchus V'Aliyah for the Neshamas of their grandparents, Moshe ben Shimon Lev Halevi, Sarleah Bas Dov Ber, Menachem Mendel ben Dov Ber, Saryita Bas Yaakov Sender, Noach ben Avram, Fega Bas Meir, David Shimon ben Yisrael, and Sarah Bas Yaakov. We thank our week of learning sponsors, Greg and Rachel Levitan, who dedicated the Shiurim this week with a plea to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reopen our shuls, in the Zuchus that when we return to shul, we daven with greater kavana and appreciation and refrain from conversation in shul. We thank our... Just jumping back and forth here, I apologize. We thank our Daf Yomi, our day of sponsor learning today, Mendy and Suri Isaacovic from Brooklyn, New York, for dedicating the learning today in memory of Mendy's mother, Chaya Sima Bas Chaim Ezra Zichron Levracha, and Lester and Lily Ward for dedicating the day of learning today in memory of their parents. We thank our Daf Yomi sponsors today, Moshe and Risa Margulies, in memory of Moshe's grandfather, David Jacobs, David Ben Shmuel Naftali Zichron Levracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an Aliyah and the family a Nechama. And I will say with that, let us begin. So we are picking up today a lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. We are picking up on today's daf is Samech Beis 62, and we are picking up on Samech Aleph Amud Beis 61b. And we are picking up, we left off with the interesting question about whether or not the Kameah has Kiddush or not. Does the amulet that we're discussing have holiness or not? And again, the Gemara was asking this question specifically, Lagabe, the ability to wear the amulet into the bathroom. So the Gemara says, We're picking up 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines up from the bottom on 61b. So Tashma, V'lo b'kamiya b'zman she'a min ha'mumcha, ha'min ha'mumcha nafix. Remember again, we learned before that on Shabbos, one cannot go out with an amulet that's not made by an expert. But the inference from that is that if it is made by an expert, you could go out with it. V'amrit kamiya n'yesh by mishum kidusha. And if you say that an amulet possesses holiness, Zimnin de mitzarch lebeis hakise, vi asila asin hu dal amas bishus rabim. And if you say that a kamiya, that an amulet does have kedusha, then what may occur? What may occur is a person will be wearing it out, will have to go into the bathroom, will have to go into the bathroom, and will end up going in and taking it off and potentially carrying it. To which the Gemara says, no, hachamai askinon, what is that place? They're talking about bikamiya shel ikrin. That's talking about, ultimately, again, a kamiya, amulet, made of herbs. So if it's an amulet made of herbs, then halacha lemaisa, there's no problem to wear it into the bathroom. Ay, v'hatanya, echad kamea shal ksav, echad kamea shal ikrin. Ay, but the braisa said you could wear out either a kamea made of herbs or a written kamea. Halacha maaskina, what's the case? V'chol shiyish bo sakana. We're talking about, again, the chola in question over here is a chola shiyish bo sakana, someone who is ill to the point of mortal danger. So we'll say such a person like that would be permitted even to go ahead and wear a kamea inside of the bathroom. So the Gemara goes right to the Gemara says, good, Elakevan. So the Gemara says, aye, but it says, Vatanya echar chola shiyish bo sakana, vechar chola shiyish bo sakana. Aye, but it says that this halacha applies whether we're talking about a chola who has sakana, a chola doesn't have sakana. Elakevan demasi afa gav dinokit le biadei nami shapir dami. So what's the Gemara says, rather, since halacha lamaisa, the kamea is there for healing purposes. So remember again, whether the person wears the kamea or ultimately carries the kamea, either way, once the kamea is there, it's providing its healing. So the Gemara actually suggests that maybe there's a possibility that even if a person carries the kamea, it's not going to be problematic on Shabbos. Or since the goal of is to have the kamea by me, so that I'm wearing it or carrying it, it has the din of a tachshit. To which the Gemara says, top of Samech Beis, that's not true. V'hatanya, Rabbi Oshia Omer, Ubuvach le'yachsenu b'yad v'arenu arba amas v'shus rabim. Rabbi Oshia says quite explicitly that halacha le'maisa, that halacha lamaisa, ultimately, again, you cannot carry it in your hand. You cannot carry it in your, excuse me, as long as you don't carry the kamiya in your hand for dalat amas and sharabim, to which the Gemara says, halacha mayaskinan, what's the case here? But mechupa or. So we're talking about a kamiya that's covered in leather. So the idea of here is we're going back to what we said before. We're talking about a kamiya that's written with psukim or with names of Hashem. And therefore, on a technical level, it should be a problem to walk in with that kamiya into the bathroom. So there's a simple suggestion. What are we talking about? Ultimately, again, it's in a leather pouch. It's covered with leather. So therefore, such a kamiya like that, even if in fact it does have the names of Hashem, or even if it does possess some kiddusha, since it is covered, you could walk in with it into the bathroom. Right? Since the kamiya is in a leather pouch, you could walk in with it into the bathroom. The Gemara says, Vahari tefillin. But what about tefillin? So remember again, the parashos and tefillin are also covered by leather, right? What leather are the parashos of tefillin covered by? They're covered by the batin, right? The boxes of the leather itself are leather, right? The boxes of the tefillin themselves are made of leather, and they cover the parashos. And yet, v'tanya, hanichnas lebeis hakisei cholis tefillin berichuk dalaramis, v'nichnas, aye, but we learned that if you're wearing tefillin and then you enter into the Beis HaKisei, you must take off your tefillin. So you see over here, even though the parashos of the tefillin are technically covered by leather, you still can't wear it into the bathroom. So we'll say it's interesting. The Gemara right now is looking at the bias, at the backs of the tefillin, as a leather covering for the parashos. So you just told me before that as long as the kamiya is covered by leather, it's in a leather pouch, you can walk into the bathroom with it, even if it has the name of God or psukim, and yet tefillin, which are parshios covered by a leather box, you cannot walk into the bathroom with them. To which the Gemara says a very simple distinction. Hasam yishum shin, dam rabayi shin shel tefillin halacha l'moshe misinai. The difference we'll say is that by tefillin, the bayis has a big shin on the side of it. That shin, by definition, also has kiddusha, because that shin, especially that one has four, right, the different types of shins on the tefillin, that is a halacha l'moshe misinai. That is a Sinaitic law. So because that shin is on the outside of the tefillin, ultimately, again, that gives the bayis kiddusha as well. And therefore, the bayis is not considered simply a cover for the parashios. The bayis itself has kiddusha, and therefore you cannot walk into the bathroom with the bayis. So the Gemara says, "Amra baye dalid shel tefillin halacha l'moshe misinai." So the Gemara says, for example, the Gemara says, "Abaye also says the dalid of the tefillin." That's referring to the knot on the back of the shel rosh. That is also a halacha l'moshe misinai. "Amra baye yud shel tefillin halacha l'moshe misinai." Both said the yud that refers to the kasher, to the knot that we have up by the shel yad. That knot is fashioned in the form of a yud. So Abayi is telling us all of these things, the shin on the shel rosh, the dalet knot on the back of the shel yad, the yud on the knot of the shel yad, all of that ultimately, again, is a halacha l'moshe misinai. So as we'll say, so bottom line, what the Gemara comes out with is, the kamea does have some level of kiddusha, does have some level of holiness, and therefore halacha l'maisa, if one is wearing a kamea that is made of psukim or names of Hashem, one cannot simply wear it exposed into the bathroom, but rather one would have to cover it before entering into the bathroom. Beautiful. The Gemara says, "V'lo b'shirin, v'lo b'kasa, v'lo magafayim." So remember again, the Mishnah ended off by talking about these other items which cannot be worn into the bath, which cannot be worn on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Shiryon." What's Shiryon? Zarda. So Rabbi says, Zarda Rash gives a last word. So Shiryon is a coat of armor, really better, a coat of mail. You can't wear this out on Shabbos. Kasta Amarav Sanuarta. Sanvarta. So what's this is was look at Rashi Kova or Tachas Kova Hamatachas. This was like a leather cap that they used to wear underneath a helmet. And lastly, Magafayim Amarav Pazmiki. Pazmiki Rashi says Ampilio Shal Barzel Bimilchama. So literally Ampilios literally means like slippers. But these are more than slippers. These were pants. So these were the type of pants, ultimately, again, also made of metal, like type of like shin guards. We'll say the common denominator of all of these things, the coat of mail, the helmet, and the shin guards, all of this ultimately were items that people wore out to battle. we're out to battle. So therefore, the concern is that halacha l'maaseh, if a person wears this on Shabbos, it looks like they're going out to battle. Now again, remember, going to war on Shabbos can be permitted under certain circumstances, but halacha l'maaseh, we don't wear these on Shabbos because generally they don't have a Shabbos use. You should just know in general, this Gemara, this piece, happens to be part of a very interesting halachic question, which is a very much a contemporary question about, let's say, is one permitted to carry a gun on Shabbos? I'm going to carry a gun on Shabbos. So this actually, this sugya is this Gemara over here about wearing items that are related to battle on Shabbos. It centers a lot around this. So the Gemara over here clearly says that even though these items are quote unquote garments, because they're garments ultimately related to battle, so halacha l'maaseh, we don't wear it on Shabbos because it doesn't really have a Shabbos purpose. Now again, obviously this is midrabbanon, not midoraisa, so some bring this up in the Shabbos gun discussion as well. Interestingly enough, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach paskins in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa that one is permitted to carry a gun on Shabbos, and for a dramatic reason. He says a gun is actually a klisha malachto leheter. See, most assume that a gun is a klisha malachto leisser, because when you shoot it, ultimately, again, you create the havar, you create the kindling. Rav Shlomo Zalman says something amazing. He says the entire point of a gun is not to fire it. He says an entire point of a gun is to be a form of prevention, he says. When people know that someone's carrying a weapon, so they act in a certain way, prevents things. So because he says it's a preventative measure, he actually goes fascinatingly enough that it's a klisha malachto leheter and can actually be carried. All right, again, a more and more complicated topic. But in any event, they're just pointing out that this discussion over here about the wearing of the coat of mail and everything like that comes into that discussion about weapons on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says as follows: Lo seite isha b'machat hanakuva. A woman can't go out with a needle that has a hole. So also remember again, in the last Mishnah we spoke about a needle without a hole, which could potentially be used ultimately again as an accessory. This is a needle with a hole. Now a needle with a hole, of course, is used for sewing. So she can't go out with a needle with a hole. V'lo b'tabashi isha l'achosam. She can't go out with a ring that has a seal on it. We spoke about that already. That's because, again, women did not normally wear that kind of ring. And therefore, for a woman to wear that kind of ring, that's not a tachshit, that's not an accessory. Rather, it's only a masui. It is a burden. So the Gemara goes on. It says, velo bekoliar. She can't go out with a koliar. We'll define these terms in the Gemara. Velo bekoliar, velo bekoveles, velo betzluchis shel pleiton. So she can't go out with a koliar. We'll define. She can't go out with a koveles. We'll define. And she can't go out with a flask of pleiton. So we will see pleiton refers to balsam oil, which was very fragrant oil. We'll define what all these things are in the Gemara. And if she goes out on Shabbos with any of these things, she's chayev eschatos, which means we'll say that list that we just listed, a needle with a hole, a ring with a signet, with a seal on it, koliar, koveles, and tzluchas shel pleiton, none of these things are considered to be a tachshit, and therefore if she wears it out, it is an iser d'oraisa. The Chamam agree with Rabbi Meir in all of the cases, except when it comes to a koveles, which we haven't defined yet, and a flask filled with balsam oil. So let's define. Says the Gemara, Amar Ula. So we'll say the first thing we're going to focus on over here is a discussion regarding the rings. So remember again, the Mishnah said that, remember, in the last Mishnah we learned that if a woman goes out with a ring without a seal, it could potentially be, it is an iser derabanan. Because then we're concerned that what? We're concerned that she's going to take off the ring and show it to her friends. In this Mishnah, we're saying that if she goes out with a ring with a seal, that is an iser da'oraisa, because that ring doesn't have the status of a tachshit, of an accessory. Therefore, it's called a masu, it's called a burden, and she's carrying an item on Shabbos. So Ula just points out, by the way, that it's the opposite by a man, right? For a man, a ring with a stamp, right, with a chosam, is a tachshit, that is a proper accessory. But a ring without a stamp is not an accessory. Rather, it is a masu, it is a burden. They're both reflecting the idea that in Talmudic times, men did not wear stam rings, right? A man would wear a ring if it had a seal on top of it. But ultimately, again, to wear a ring stam as an accessory, a man did not do. So it's the reverse by men and by women. So the one says, Alma kasavar ula, komidi di chazili ish lo chazili isha, umidi di chazili isha lo chazili ish. So ula must hold that what? That halacha lamais, in general, we say, any garment that's fit for a woman, or any tachshit that's fit, any accessory that's fit for a woman is not fit for a man. And any accessory that's fit for a man is not fit for a woman. Is that true? Masir Rav Yosef, haro'im yotzeim bisakin. We'll say first wide lines, the shepherds go out with their sackcloths. And we'll say, Rashi points out over here that ultimately, again, the shepherds used to wear like a very heavy type of sackcloth. They did this because, again, it would protect them from the elements. Rain, wind, cold. So therefore, again, now people wouldn't normally wear, you wouldn't normally wear that garment. That was dafka for the shepherds. So the shepherds, so the Gemara says over here, the shepherds could go out with their heavy sackcloth on Shabbos. And it's not just shepherds. But yet, interestingly enough, what does it say? The halach is Rabbo saying, really anyone could wear this sackcloth. It just says that the shepherds do it because it's what the shepherds normally wear. But in Achinami, any person would be permitted to go ahead and wear this sackcloth. What do you see from here? You see from here that halacha lemaisa, once something becomes an article of clothing for one person, it becomes an article of clothing for everyone. Once the shepherds wear this, then ultimately what? Everyone could wear it. Amar Rav Yosef kasavar ula. So we'll say, so if that's the case, then why, so then really, if something is an accessory for a woman, then it should be able to be an accessory for a man. Again, specifically in the realm of rings. Obviously, if something is uniquely feminine, then halach lamaisa, it's not going to be for a man. But lamaisa, there should be some level of overlap. So let's listen to this statement. I'm going to say, kasavu ula, nashim am bifnei atzmon hein. Ula holds, women are a nation unto themselves. Right? He says, they both say, now be very careful how you utilize this particular concept. I'm happy that everybody's muted right now. It's good for your own safety that you're muted right now. So I'll say, so the mice, again, what he's saying is, right, nashim am bifnei atzmonein. So women aren't, what does that mean? So the idea is that obviously, that what it means is that whereas in the realm of clothing or accessories, there could be some level of overlap. But lemaisa, what constitutes an accessory for a woman is fundamentally different than what constitutes an accessory for a man. So nashim am bifnei atzman, women are a nation unto themselves, indicates that the havamina was that there should be some level of accessory overlap. Kamash malan, that there really is no accessory overlap. Esvei, the Gemara says, is that true? Esvei Abaye, Habasar was saying, now according to this logic, what it really means is there should be no level of accessory overlap between men and women. So the Gemara says, is that true? Esvei Abaye, this is fascinating. Hamotzi tefillin, if one finds tefillin out in the field. So we'll say, so remember again, and now here's the issue. The issue is you find rashes in the shuk or on the pathway. Now you find a pair of tefillin lying on the ground. There's no Erev. So how do, now I don't want to chas v'shalom leave tefillin out in the middle of nowhere. So what do I do with this? So the Gemara said, machnisin zug zug, echad ha'ish ve'echad ha'isha. So what did Rabbi say? Very simple. I put them on. I put on the tefillin. I go ahead. Machnisin Rashi says, li'ir derech malbush. I put on the tefillin. And let's say if I found multiple pairs, then what I could do is I could keep going back, putting it on, wearing it in. Putting it on, wearing it in. This is the way you would transport tefillin potentially on Shabbos. And yet, what this is saying, dramatic Gemara, echad ha'ish ve'echad ha'isha. A man could do this and a woman could do this. What do you see from here? Vi'i amrit nashim am bifnei atzman hein. And if you want to say women are a nation unto themselves, which means that women's accessories and men's accessories are not interchangeable, then ultimately again, v'ha mitzvahs aseh shazman gramahu, v'cho mitzvahs aseh shazman gramah nashim peturos. We'll say at the end of the day, tefillin is a time-bound mitzvah, and that women are exempt. If women are exempt, then lemaisa, tefillin should not be a malbush for them. We'll say, remember again, the entire heter over here, I'm walking on Shabbos, I see tefillin lying on the ground. There's no eruv, so I can't pick them up and transport them, right? Because again, even if tefillin are technically mukta, if they're sitting on the road and it's in a disrespectful state, they'll be able to pick it up, but there's no eruv. So what do I do? No problem. I put them on and I wear them in. Why could I do that? Because we already saw 2 days ago, tefillin is considered to be a malbush. Tefillin is considered to be an article of clothing. But it's only an article of clothing if it's your mitzvah. But if women are exempt from the mitzvah, then why is it? Then it's not a malbush for them. If it's not a malbush, if it's not an article of clothing, then how are they permitted to wear it in? The act of wearing for a woman should be an act of hotzah. To which the Gemara says, Hasam kasar Rabbi Meir laila zman tefillin hu u'shabbos zman tefillin hu havei the mitzvahs asei shelo hazman grama v'chol mitzvah asei shelo hazman grama nashim chayavos. So we'll say a dramatic answer. The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Meir, in fact tefillin is not a time bound mitzvah, because Rabbi Meir holds that you're allowed to wear tefillin at night, you're allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos, therefore it is not a time bound mitzvah, and because it's not a time bound mitzvah, therefore what? Women are chayavos. Which the Rambam says is very dramatic, because what it tells us is that there is a shita that says that women are chayavos. Now, also remember again, obviously, even when mitzvah saseh shazman grama, remember, that's a ptur, that's an exemption. So there's an incredible amount of halachic literature about this concept of a ptur. Is a ptur like a forced ptur, or Moshe Paskins, that it's not the pshat that a woman is potter, but she could do it. It's a forced ptur. Again, he explains what that means. Others explain it differently. I'm just pointing out that there's a sheet of Rabbi Meir who seems to indicate, fascinatingly enough, that it's not a mitzvah, it's not a time bound mitzvah at all. And if it's not a time bound mitzvah at all, then halacha lamaisa, women would be chayavos according to the view of Rabbi Meir, which is actually quite dramatic. To which the Gemara says, "I v'ha utsa kila achar yati." But in general, the Gemara says, "I don't understand." Look at Rashi, "V'ha utsa kila achar yatu." It's almost right across. So, "Amas nisin kai v'ha utsa tabash shemotzia derech malbush be'etzba v'zeh sheno takshet la amaychav zchad." So now let's go back to the Mishnah for just a moment. So the Mishnah said that if a woman wears a ring that has a seal on it, then ultimately, again, she is chayiv achatas. That is an isser da'oraisa. But the Gemara says, why would it be an isser da'oraisa? At the end of the day, it is hotzah kila achayad. We'll say, in general, you're chayiv for hotzah how? If you pick up an item, hold it in your hand, and walk dalat amas and rishus rabim, or walk from rishus yachat to rishus rabim. What's happening in this case? In this case, over here, halacha l'maisa, she's putting it on her finger. So isn't that considered to be kind of like hotzah kila achar yad, meaning that's called carrying with the shinui, or, you know, meaning she's not carrying it directly in her hand, she's wearing it on her finger. That, by definition, should remove the prohibition from an isser d'oraisa to an isser d'rabbanan. Am Rabbi Yirmiyahu, who are we talking about? B'isha gizbara saskinan. We're talking about a woman, an isha gizbara. So we'll see, isha gizbara means she's a woman who has a position of authority, and therefore she's often going ahead and sending out and stamping letters. So because it is normal for her to wear this type of ring, the act of wearing it on Shabbos is not considered to be an act of carrying it kila achar yad with a shinoi. But yet, interestingly enough, nevertheless, even though she normally might wear this kind of ring during the day for her work, it is not considered to be a tachshit. It is not considered to be an accessory. And therefore, if she were to wear it on Shabbos, it would still be an act of carrying. But it's not called hotzah kila achar yad, a mishunadika form of carrying, when she puts it on her finger. Why? Because she normally wears this type of ring during the week. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Arachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Taratz te'isha, ish ma'ika le'meimar. So that explains a woman. But a man, I don't understand, why should he be chayv echatos if at the end of the day he goes in and wears a ring without a seal? After all, again, is that not carrying kila achar yad with a shinui? To which the Gemara says, Elam Rava, pamim shadam nosin lishtot tabas sheish alachosim lalicha lekufsa, umanichta biyada ad shemagas lekufsa. Because we'll say sometimes it's common where if a man asks his wife, can you please put down my ring for me? Put down my ring. So what will she do? She'll put it on her finger. Right? So said, can you do me a favor? When you're going upstairs, can you put this on the dresser for me? So she'll say, no problem, but she'll take it, but she won't carry it in her hand. She'll put it on her finger, just because it's an easier way to transport a ring. And similarly, and sometimes only will give her husband a ring without a seal on it, because she says, can you do me a favor? My ring has to be fixed. Can you take it to the craftsman? And the husband, will of course do it, and he'll actually put the ring on his finger until he gets to the Uman. So what is the Gemara saying about say? So this is quite fascinating. So the Gemara is saying that really halacha lamaisa, For a woman, an accessory is only a ring without a seal. For a man, an accessory is only a ring with a seal. But sometimes a man will wear a ring without a seal. When his wife asks him to go ahead and take her ring to the Uman, he'll put it on his finger because it's the easiest way of taking the ring. A ring with a seal is not an accessory. But sometimes if she's taking it somewhere for her husband, she'll put it on her finger. Therefore, again, wearing those kinds of rings on Shabbos for each a man and a woman, halacha l'maaseh is not considered to be karen kila acharya. It's almost like if you bring this all together, what comes out is as follows. For a woman, wearing a ring with a seal on Shabbos is an isur d'oraisa, because such a ring is not a tachshit at all. It's not considered to be an accessory for her. And if she wears it out, that is an act of carrying, which for inadvertent transgression carries a penalty of chatos. For a woman, a ring without a seal, ultimately, again, is an accessory, is a tachshit, but yet midirabbanan, we don't want her to wear it. Why? Because she may come to take it off and show it to her friend in Rosh Sarabim and end up carrying it. For a man, a ring with a seal is a tachshit. The midrabanan, we don't want him to wear it. Again, lest he take it off and show it to his friend on Shabbos. And a ring without a seal for a man will ultimately, again, not be a tachshit. It's not an accessory. And therefore, if he wears it on Shabbos, it is an isur d'oraisa. Good. Let's go back to Veloba Kuliar Veloba Kovelas. So a woman can't go out with a Kuliar Kovelas. The Gemara says, my Kuliar. What's a Kuliar? Amarava. Mikavanto. So we'll say, what's a Mikavanto? If you look at Rashi's Mikavanto, Nushka, Ashim Shemichabenes, Vikosheres, Miftechea Choluk. So I'll say, this was like a pin or a brooch that she would wear to keep her blouse together. So this is something Rashi defines it as something that you would use to close up your shirt. So it's a pin or a brooch of some sort. So kovelas, what about a kovelas? Amarav chomarta de pilon. A kovelas, ultimately, again, Rashi says chomarta de pilon, kesha shekasha bar sam, sheshmo pilon, verecho arev. So we'll say this would be like a little receptacle, or a spice pouch that she would wear around her neck. Now we'll say, why would a woman wear this? So Rashi points out, v'isho sharecha ra to'anas aleha. So a woman who had body odor would often wear this spice pouch as a way of masking body odor. So therefore, I'm going to say, so one more time. So the kolyar is like the pin, right? Is the pin or the brooch to go ahead and keep her shirt together, to pin her shirt together. And the kovelas, ultimately, again, is the spice pouch. So the Gemara says, V'chin amravasi chomarta de pilon. Tanabana, lo seitzi bi kovelas, umun should not go out on Shabbos with the spice pouch. Vim yotzasa chayeves chatas to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, if she went out on Shabbos with the spice pouch, ultimately, again, she's chayeves chatas, i.e., it's an iser da oraisa. Rest of the Gemara says, that's the words of Rabbi Meir. The Chum de Chachamim say, lo seitzei, she shouldn't go out, v'im yatsa sa petura. But if she did go out, ultimately, again, she is pata. So pata means, it's asr midaraisa. Asr midaraisa. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer omer, yotze isha bekavalas lechatkilo. And Rabbi Eliezer says, women could go out with the pilon lechatkilo. So we'll say, with the kavalas. So we'll say, so three machlokis. Could a woman go out with the spice pouch on Shabbos, three-way machlokas? Rabbi Meir says, Asr midoraisa, Chacham say Asr midrabanan, and ultimately Rabbi Eliezer saying, Mutr lechatchila. Okay, so my come if you're already arguing about. Rabbi Meir says, Ramasar, Meir holds that a spice pouch is a burden. It's a burden, it's a musli. Therefore, halacha l'maaseh, you cannot wear it out on Shabbos. V'rabanan savar, tachshetu, v'dilma shalfa umachvi. V'asilasur, baran say, no, it is a tachshet, it is an accessory. But our concern is that she's going to take it off in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to show it to her friend, and she's going to end up carrying it dalit amis in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. V'rabi Eliezer savar, man darka lemirme, who wears the spice pouch? Who wears the kovelas? So the Gemara says, isha sharecha ra, a woman who has body odor. So the isha sharecha ra lo shafo machvi for asilasi arbams rishus rabim. So this is very simple. A woman who wears a spice pouch is a woman who has body odor. If someone is wearing a spice pouch to mask body odor, the one thing they're not going to do is what? Take it off. So because they're not going to take it off, therefore there's no concern that she's going to take it off and show her friend in Rosh Hashanah. I have a Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Poter Bekoveles, Ubritz Luchas Shel Plaiton. But we have another price that says, Rabbi Eliezer says that you're exempt. Now, both say Poter always means Pater Aval Asr. It means it's Pater, but it is Asr Midrabanan. So according to the Bryce, it indicates that Rabbi Ezra holds that wearing the spice pouch is still Asr Midrabanan. Yet here we just said that he said it's Motor Lechatchila, Lokashia, Kikai Ad Rabbi Meir, Ha Kikai Ad Rabbanan. But say everything depends on who Rabbi Eliezer is talking to. Watch this. Kikai Ad Rabbi Meir, Damar Chayiv Chatos, Amr Le Pater. When Rabbi Meir, who says that it's Asr Midaraisa, he'll say that it's Mutter in the Rabbanon. When he's talking to the Rabbanon, who say that Pater Aval Asr is Mutter in the Rabbanon, he'll say it's Mutter Lechatchila. Good. Amud Beis will say. So those are the three Shitos. Ultimately, again, when it comes to spice pouches, so we have again Rabbi Meir who says it's Asr Midaraisa because it's a burden. The Rabbanon who say that it's Asr Midrabbanon because although it is a tachshit, we are concerned that she's going to take off the spice pouch and inadvertently carry it Dal Ramas and Shusarabim. And Rabbi Eliezer says that it's Mutter Lechatchila. Why? Because the reason you wear a spice pouch is because of body odor. And because the body or the woman is not going to take it off to show her friend, because she doesn't want to lose the ability to mask the body odor. Umay Rabbi Meir, both say, where do we find this position of Rabbi Meir? Here we go. Disanya. Lo seitze isha b'mafteach shabiyada. A woman should not go out on Shabbos with a mafteach a key in her hand. Vim yatsa chayeves chatos. And ultimately, again, if she does so, she's chayev chatos. Div Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Eliezer Poter, Bikoveles ubitzluches shaplaiton. So Rabbi Eliezer says that you're exempt if you go out with a koveles, or most remember again, koveles is a spice pouch, as we said before, or with a flask of balsam oil. The Gemara says, koveles man de kashma, I don't understand, we're talking about a key. Where did we come up ultimately come with the spice pouch? The Gemara says, chisri mechsev ahi katani. We'll say, they say that the Bryce was missing a piece, and here's how you have to read it. V'chein bikoveles, v'chein b'tzluches shel plaiton. So too, again, about the same way Rabbi Meir says, that ultimately, again, you can't go out with a key. So too, again, according to Rabbi Meir, you can't go out with the koveles, with the spice pouch, and you can't go out with the flask of balsam oil. The Gemara says, v'lo seitz v'im yatsa chayev eschatos to Rabbi Meir. So we'll see, Rabbi Meir holds that halacha l'maisa, a key, a spice pouch, a flask of balsam oil, all of these things are considered to be a burden. They're not considered to be accessories, and therefore halacha l'maisa, if you go out with it on Shabbos, it is asr midaraisa. The Rabbi Eliezer poter, Rabbi Eliezer says that your pater bekovelas obitzluchas shoplaiton. So we'll see, Rabbi Eliezer says that halacha l'maisa, it's only asr midarabanan with the spice pouch and with the flask of balsam oil. I'm medram morim. When is that so? Kishyesh b'hem bosem. That's only ultimately when the spice pouch and when the flask ultimately again has actually some spices in it. Look at Rashi. Rashi says top right second line on the top from the top in Rashi. Kishyesh b'hem bosem. Plaiton. V'yesh b'hu chumarta ha'asuya kikamia. To give the yishba bosem tachshetu lezu sherecha ra lemishal v'asuya. I'm supposed to say, so when can you wear out the spice pouch and when can you wear out the flask? Only if there's mamish something inside of it, right? The pouch by itself is not a tachshit, right? And the flask by itself is not a tachshit. Only when there's something inside of the pouch or something inside of the flask that you could wear it out on Shabbos. So the Gemara said, "Medar amurim kishesh ben bosam va'im ben bosam chayeles." But even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that halacha l'maisa, if there are no spices in the pouch or there's no balsam oil in the flask, that will be considered a masui, that will be considered a burden, and if you wear it out on Shabbos, you'll be chay v'chatos. V'amar av adbar ava zosomer. So we'll say we learned something very interesting over here. Hamotzi ochlim. Pachos mikashir bekli chayiv. So you learn something very interesting, which is, in general, we saw this before, that for example, if you're carrying food, in order to be chayiv for hotsa on food, you have to carry a certain amount of food. Right? If you carry less than a certain amount of food, then halacha l'maisa, you're patra for the act of hotsa. So you see from something very interesting. What happens if you're carrying a kli, a utensil, and in the utensil is less than the requisite shear of food? So from here you see, Hamotzi ochlin pachos mikashir bekli, that if you carry in a utensil, food, but the food doesn't have the shear, that you're chayiv. Why you chayiv? You're chayiv for the kli. In other words, we don't see that the kli is bottled to the food. Daha ein bosem pachos mikashir bekli dami. Yet the bosek is what? We have, daha ein babosem kepachos mikashir, because you see from here that halacha lemaisa, that if you don't have any spices in the pouch or in the flask, that is pachos mikashir, and yet what? Ultimately, again, the chayeves, and yet you're chayiv for carrying the kli. Vashi, in general, that's not the case. In general, Vashi will say it's quite possible that if you're carrying a kli and inside of it is food less than the requisite shear for chiyuv, that halacha lemaisa you'll actually be putter because the kli is bottled to the food. So why in this case over here, if you carry the spice pouch without the spices or the flask without the balsam oil, that's your chayiv. V'shayni hacha, the lesse lemamosha klal. We'll say there's a difference between carrying in a utensil food that's pachos mikashir and carrying a utensil absolutely nothing. When you're carrying pachos mikashir, again, we'll see this sugya, it's possible that even though you don't have enough food by itself, ultimately to generate the chiyuv, the nevertheless, and therefore again, the kli will be bottle to the food. And just like you're not chayiv for the food, you're not chayiv for the kli. But where there's nothing in the kli, like in this case, if there's no balsam oil, there's no spices, then in achinami you would be chayiv for carrying the kli itself. So we'll say now we're going to get into some beautiful agarata. I meant to put this out last night. I had some beautiful agarata today, tomorrow a little bit on Shabbos. Also, beautiful agarata. I mean, you'll see it's actually tragic agarata, but it's very moving. Vereishis shmanim mimshachu. So we'll say, so over here now the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Amos. Literally, again, he'll be drawn after the first oils. Amrav Yehuda Mishmuel zu plaiton. This refers to balsam oil. Balsam oil, Masir Rav Yosef. Af al plaiton goes Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava for the hodulo. In the aftermath of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava wanted to go ahead and be gozri, wanted to legislate that people shouldn't use balsam oil as a form, ultimately again, of mourning for the Beis Hamikdash. But they did not accept Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava's suggestion. The amrit mishum tainug amaylo. And if you say that balsam oil, again, provides so much pleasure, then indeed, why would we not legislate against its use after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? To Amayla Hodulo, Amayla Tameh Hadichsiv, Hashosib Mizrikeyayin, those who drink out of the bowls of wine. What are these bowls of wine? Rabbi Amar, Rabbi Asi, Chad Amar Kinashkinin, Vichad Amar Shemizarkin Koso Sein Zeloze. One says that this refers to Kinashkinin. So I'll say, what are Kinashkinin? If you look at Rashi, it's Rashi Divri Hamaschil Ula Ta'amei Chodichsiv, Vahai Inyona, Hashosel Mizrikiyayin, Rabbi An Rabbi Asi Pershu, Zeo Kinashkinin, Klizchuch is Aruch, Veloshne Pios, Viyayin Nizrak Mizelaza. So I'll say, it's very interesting. So this was a large wine goblet that two people could drink from. A large wine goblet that two people could drink from simultaneously, right? Or others say, what is Mizrake Ayayin? Shemazak and Rashi says, Ayyidei umnos kidar be'achadol, b'tal b'tan ekaski. Or others here both say, the Mizrake Ayayin refers to people who used to have a skill, a very interesting skill set. They could throw glasses of wine without any wine spilling. Very impressive. So we'll say, so ultimately, again, the Gemara says, Hachinami da'asr, these things should also be asr. Or as well say, if we're talking about going ahead and legislating against certain things in the aftermath of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, why not outlaw this two-person wine glass? Or why not outlaw the practice of throwing the wine glasses, both of which generated much joy? Hachinami da'asr, v'ha'ra barafuna ikla le'beish kalusa. Yet Rabbi Arafuna went to the house of the Reish Kalusa, v'shasa b'kinashkinin, and he drank out of this two-person wine glass, v'lo amar le v'lo midi, and he didn't say anything. He didn't say anything. So again, yet Rabbi Arafuna seeing this practice of drinking from the kinashkinin, the two-person wine glass, in the house of the Reish Kalusa, and yet he didn't say anything. Ella komidi de ispe tainig ve ispe simcha gazu rabbana. I suppose that this is incredible. Anything that has both tanug and simcha. Tanug means pleasure, simcha means joy. So in other words, we'll say anything. So what's the difference? So tanug means something that generates personal pleasure. It's personally pleasurable to me. Simcha means it creates an atmosphere of joy as well. So anything that generates both tanug and simcha Gazur Rabbanon. That's where the rabbi stepped in and legislated against these practices in the aftermath of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash as a display of mourning. However, Vamidi the Isbei Tanog, but less Beis Simcha, but saying that only has personal enjoyment, but doesn't generate a general atmosphere of Simcha, Lo Gazur Rabbanon. So this is actually quite fascinating. We're going to see more of this, but this is really a very interesting definition that apparently in the aftermath of the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, the rabbi, we know, this is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, right? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was one who legislated these two different types of halachas, Zecher leChurban and Zecher leMikdash, two different types of practices, which we'll talk about. But apparently the only things they legislated were against things that are both Tanug and Simcha. Tanug provide personal pleasure and generate an atmosphere of Simcha. That's usher in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara goes on, Hashochim al mitos shein, usruchim al arsosim. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Amos. Literally, they lay down on their beds of ivory and stretch out on their couches. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, what is this? Now remember, these psukim in Amos are a rebuke to Klal Yisrael. So Amos is rebuking the people. You people who sleep on beds of ivory and stretch out on your couches. Okay, what's the rebuke? What's the very Rabbi Yosef Chanina Melamed Shei Mashtinen Ma'im Mifnei Mitosein Arum. It teaches us that the people would urinate naked in front of their beds. That was the great rebuke. Okay, so the Gemara says Megadif. So the Gemara says Megadif Rabbi Avo Ihachi Hainu Dechsev Lachin Ata Yiglu Barosh Golem Mishum De Mishtan Ma'im Mifnei Mitosein Arum Yiglu Barosh Golem. So we'll say I don't understand. Because people urinate naked in front of their beds, that's why they're going to be exiled. In other words, that was the great sin of Klal Yisrael. Now, remember again, as opposed to what? As opposed to getting dressed and going out to the outhouse to relieve oneself, they would wake up, right? They would be unclothed and they would relieve themselves in front of their bed. I understand if you want to tell me that's maybe like a breach of modesty. But the idea that this is the reason why Klal Yisrael is going to be exiled, so I'll say, here we go. The Gemara says, Ella Am Rabbi Avon, no. Rather, Rabbi Avon say, this was a different rebuke. When Amos says, you sleep on your beds of ivory, usruchem al arsos, and you stretch out, here was the Musr. We'll say, Amos was giving them Musr, but again, he was too embarrassed to speak about what they were really doing. What were they doing? Ella b'nei Adam, this refers to groups of people, she'ochlim v'shosim zemze, who would eat and drink with each other, v'dovkin mitoseyen zubazu, and then they would move their couches next to each other, u'machlifin v'shoseyen zeimze, and they would trade wives with one another. So Amos is referring to the incredible immorality that was happening. Here people would eat together, drink together, and again engage in acts of immorality with each other's spouses. And they would sully, they would dirty their couches with semen that was not theirs. So both say, so again, that's why it says suruchim, which normally translates as stretch out. But Saruch also means to make disgusting. So Amos was decrying the terrible immorality of the people. So the Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Avov, Amr Le Masni Zatana. So we'll say, so now again, so therefore it turns out that in fact what Amos was alluding to was immorality. You people are so immoral, and therefore as a result, the Beis HaMikdash, right? Therefore, all, as a result, you're going to be led out to exile. But we'll say, but now that we mentioned the urinating in front of the bed naked, so the Gemara kind of builds on that a little bit. So, Amr Rabbi Avava, Amr Levi Masni Satana, Gimel Dvarim Mevien Es Adam Levianis. It's supposed to be really quite fascinating. There are three things that bring a person to poverty. Eluhein, Hamash Demayim Bifnei Mitasa Arum, if you urinate in front of your bed naked, and ultimately, or you don't take washing seriously. Mizalzel means literally you degrade the practice of hand washing. Or one whose wife curses at him in front of him. These are three things that bring a person to poverty. Let's analyze. What does it mean that if you urinate in front of your bed naked, that you're going to become poor? So Amarava, first of all, let's define this. That's only if you urinate in the direction of your bed. But if your back is to your bed, then it's not so bad. Always the Gemara says, Umahadra pay leporia, and similarly again, to urinate in the direction of your bed, that's also not so bad. Lo amran ella la'ara, if you're urinating on the ground. Abal bimana leslamba, but if you're urinating like into a bedpan, that's not a problem. Both say, just so you understand, what does this mean? What does this mean? That if a person urinates in front of their bed, that ultimately, again, it leads to anius, it leads to poverty. He will say, I think it's a very simple pshat. What does it mean if a person is urinating right in front of their bed? He'll say, what that means is you have a fundamental lack of respect. A lack of respect, ultimately, again, for your items, right? For your possessions, right? The idea ultimately is that halacha lemaisa, Shabbos say, goes back to Yaakov Avinu, right? Remember again when Yaakov, the Gemara says, Yaakov was left alone. So remember, what does Rashi say? Shachach pachim kitanim. He forgot his small jugs and he went back for them. Shabbos say, everything we have in this world is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from your most expensive possession to the little, to the smallest thing. A person who's urinating in front of his bed, right? Shabbos say, so first of all, that means you're urinating in your house, on the floor, right by where you sleep. What a fundamental disrespect to your home. And what a fundamental disrespect to your possessions. And what a fundamental disrespect, because remember again, especially if you're urinating in the direction of your bed, there could be urine droplets that get onto your bed. What a fundamental disrespect for your possessions. And if you fundamentally disrespect your possessions, that means you don't recognize that they come from God. If you don't recognize that they come from God, who says, if you don't appreciate it, I'm thinking about to both say, this is an incredibly important yesod, which is how we treat our material items. This is, you know, we'll say this goes to the idea of bal tashchis, not throwing out food, treating things. We have to treat our possessions with respect. We'll say, you know, when we teach our children to pick up their stuff, why do we teach them to pick up their stuff? To go ahead and have a clean room. Why is that we should maintain clean homes? Why is that we should put our own stuff away? But say, okay, yes, cleanliness is a midah, but it's also when you put your clothing away, when you put your toys away, you're demonstrating a respect for your materialism. I respect this object. Why do I respect the object? Because God gave it to me. It's a gift from God. And if it's a gift from God, it has to be treated with a profound respect. It's such an important yesod about treating our materialism with respect. Not because materialism is the most important thing, but because every material thing I have is a gift from Hashem. And if it's a gift from Hashem, it must be treated with kavod. And if I don't treat it with kavod, Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is fine. You don't want to treat what I give you with kavod? No problem, I'll take it back. That's what it means that a person who urinates in front of his bed, and now we see it's towards his bed without a bedpan, he's fundamentally disregarding his home, he's fundamentally disrespecting his bed, and Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you demonstrate that level of disrespect for material items, I'll take them back. Right, so we'll have to stop over here. We're going to pick up. We are in Meretz Hashem going to begin Shir tomorrow morning at 5:45 a.m. There's a lot to do tomorrow. Beautiful, beautiful Gemara tomorrow. Also, some more Agarata, more beautiful Gemara. So we'll pick up here 5:45 tomorrow morning. Shkoyach, everyone.